I'm Veronica Dudo tonight on EWTN News Nightly, locked and loaded as protests grip Iran. President Trump weighs in about possible U.S. involvement. To the Heights, we're on the ground in Ohio as thousands of Catholics join together in prayer, encounter, and transformation at SEEK 2026. Plus, turning to Our Lady, what Pope Leo says we can learn from Mary as we begin the new year. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of Saints Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen. Our top story tonight, as a brand new year gets underway, new tensions and warnings surface between the White House and Iran. President Donald Trump and top Iranian officials exchange threats. This as deadly protests are spreading in Iran over that nation's economy. At least seven people have been killed in violence surrounding the demonstrations. White House correspondent Owen Jensen joins us with more. Owen.
Veronica, good evening to you. President Donald Trump posted his threat to Iran on Truth Social. Now, he wasn't specific, of course, about exactly what the U.S. would do, but as seen before, he's not hesitant or reluctant to use force. The current protests in Iran have gone on nearly a week.
Widening economic protests sweep across parts of the Islamic Republic. Demonstrations sparked in part by the collapse of Iran's currency. And not just economic issues. Demonstrators are chanting against Iran's theocracy as well. This protester in western Iran filmed setting fire to a banner bearing the image of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Still in Florida, President Donald Trump warns if Iran shoots and violently kills peaceful protesters, which is their custom, the United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go. Shortly after, the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council writes on X, "We distinguish between the stance of the protesting shopkeepers and the actions of disruptive actors, and Trump should know that U.S. interference in this internal matter would mean destabilizing the entire region and destroying America's interests." Earlier this week at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, President Trump meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and suggesting the U.S. could carry out military strikes if Iran attempts to reconstitute its nuclear program. Warning.
Now I hear that Iran is trying to build up again, and if they are, we're going to have to knock them down. We'll knock them down. We'll knock the hell out of them, but hopefully that's not happening.
President Trump's online message marking a direct sign of support for the demonstrators, something that other American presidents have avoided out of concern that activists would be accused of working with the West. One U.S. congressman posting on X, "The vast majority of Iranians want freedom, a government that respects individual liberties, and a country that is at peace with its neighbors. The Iranian people have been abused by their own government for way too long."
Now, looking ahead, the White House says President Trump will meet tonight with the U.S. Ambassador to the People's Republic of China. Then on Sunday, he returns to Washington, where he'll soon begin his second year back in office. Veronica?
Joining us now is Norman Rule, a former U.S. National Intelligence Manager for Iran and now a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So first, can you explain to our viewers more about why people are protesting in Iran?
Yes. Well, since 2017, Iran has witnessed a series of widespread national protests. These protests have been driven by a variety of factors, oppression of women and minorities, declining standards of living, national shortages of water and electricity, international isolation because of Iran's support for terrorism and regional militias. But overall, there is a sense of failed governance and most recently, the collapse of Iran's currency. This specific spate of unrest was driven by a dramatic decline of Iran's currency. In the last 6 months, it's lost about 56% of its value. And this has driven a tremendous amount of Iran's population into poverty.
You have been following this in Iran for many years, across several decades. Does this feel different right now, what we're seeing?
Well, it feels worse. So again, since 2017, we've seen five periods of intense unrest. And in each of these periods, we've seen a growing wide geographic dispersal of unrest. We've seen the government use harsh oppression to put down the unrest. But in each case, you see a disillusioned population. This is a government that has lost touch with its people. But the grievances of the people are legitimate. So let's take this particular incident. Iran's currency in 1979 traded at about 72 rials to the dollar. The currency at present is trading at 1.42 million rials to the dollar. Now, this has put about half the population into poverty. They're having an inflation rate of about 42% a year. Food is about 72% a year. This is unsustainable for the average Iranian. And what they're doing is they're watching their being unable to feed their children. They're watching the unemployment increase. And the government is failing to be able to provide normal services. Water, electricity is being routinely turned off. Yet the government does have money for missiles. It does have money to provide funds to Hezbollah and Hamas. And the people do not understand this, and they're protesting en masse.
So you described an extremely oppressive situation. President Trump said today the U.S. will intervene if Iran kills protesters. What kind of action do you think the U.S. could take?
Well, I think maybe we should begin by saying what he probably doesn't mean. And I don't think he means boots on the ground or personnel on the ground, but it is likely that he would provide support to assist the protesters through significant sanctioning of Iranian entities, calling for diplomatic isolation of Iran with our European partners. Europe has been, unfortunately, I think, a bit silent in this case. I could see in a most extreme case, perhaps military action against facilities that are involved in the killing of protesters. There have been reports of fatalities. And again, we've seen women, children killed in the past by Iran's protesters. But I think we need to be clear. The president has been consistent over the last year in keeping the United States out of any conventional military engagement in the Middle East. I think that will continue.
Norman Rule, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Tensions rise even more between the U.S. and Venezuela, as it has now been revealed that several Americans have been detained in the country over the past couple of months. While some of them face legitimate criminal charges, the U.S. government says at least two prisoners may be wrongfully detained. This comes as Venezuela's leader says he is willing to consider negotiations. In a pre-taped interview on state television, President Nicolas Maduro said he is open to an agreement with the U.S. to combat drug trafficking while offering investment opportunities to the U.S. for the country's oil. This comes after the U.S. targeted five more alleged drug smuggling boats this past week. An 18-year-old man in Charlotte, North Carolina, is in custody today, charged with attempting to provide material support to ISIS. The FBI says Christian Sturdivant was planning to use knives and hammers to carry out an attack, but was caught by undercover agents.
So Mr. Sturdivant started on the internet. He started reading ISIS material, started going to ISIS websites, making TikTok videos, and eventually reached out to what he thought was a member of ISIS. In reality, was an undercover agent with NYPD in New York.
2026 begins with tragedy at a high-end ski resort in Switzerland. Officials say about 40 people are dead and 119 others injured after a fire broke out during a New Year's celebration.
Everyone was banging on the windows and stuff, screaming. It was like a horror movie, but they couldn't get out. I think the windows were too thick.
Authorities say the deadly fire at a packed bar was likely started by party-style sparklers attached to champagne bottles. Investigators say the sparks struck the ceiling, igniting material above. Now officials are examining whether the ceiling met fire safety regulations and if sparklers were even allowed inside the venue. Additionally, fire extinguishers, exit routes, and other safety measures are also under review. The regional attorney general is warning of possible prosecutions if any criminal liability is found. Meanwhile, earlier today, a church in the Swiss town of Crans, Montana, held a memorial service for the victims of the fire. The country's president has said the country will hold 5 days of mourning, describing the blaze as one of the most traumatic events in Switzerland's history. A 6.5 magnitude earthquake has hit southern Mexico, triggering landslides and causing thousands to evacuate buildings. The epicenter was in San Marcos on the southern Pacific coast. Residents and tourists rushed into the streets when the shaking began. Currently, there are no tsunami threats to the region. Cameras caught the moment the earthquake hit, downing trees and breaking windows. The quake even interrupted the Mexican president's first press briefing of the year. She later resumed the conference, reporting no serious damage had taken place. Right now, the Sikh conference is underway in three different cities. EWTN in-depth correspondent Mark Irons is in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Mark. Can you remind our viewers what is Sikh all about?
Absolutely, Veronica. Simply put, Sikh is all about tens of thousands of young adult Catholics from across the country gathering to develop and grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. The event is happening across three sites this year in Fort Worth, Denver, and right here in Columbus, Ohio. This hall behind me is fairly empty right now, but I can assure you throughout the day it's been jam-packed. A lot of these students are in sessions right now. But across these three sites, more than 26,000 participants gathering at Sikh. And there's really a little something for everybody here. There's this five-day conference includes speakers covering a number of topics. There's lay Catholic apostolates and exhibits. Most importantly, an opportunity for prayer, to encounter Christ in the sacraments, adoration, and to focus really on those things that are most important as they grow in faith. And another thing as well is just the sheer numbers. I mean, at this site alone, this is the largest site for Sikh this year, around 16,000 participants. And when a young adult Catholic comes here, I think they quickly find out if they thought they were alone in the faith journey, they realize they really aren't, because there are so many others like them seeking to grow in that relationship with Christ.
Now, Mark, I understand there was a special guest appearance at the conference. Who was it?
Absolutely, a very special guest. After the opening mass yesterday, Bishop Fernandez here in the Diocese of Columbus, he teased that there might be some sort of special message, but I think many people, myself, were surprised when on the video screens appears Pope Leo with a specific tailored recorded message for this Sikh audience. Let's listen to a little bit of what he said.
During this conference, you too will have the opportunity to spend time with the Lord. For some of you, like Andrew, it may be your first real encounter with Christ. For others, this weekend will be an opportunity to deepen your relationship with Him, as well as your understanding of the Catholic faith. Be open to what the Lord has in store for you.
As you heard right there, his main message really for these young people to take steps here to grow in that relationship with Christ. Stay tuned. Later in the show, I will be standing here with a couple of students from the University of Cincinnati who will share how they've been experiencing this conference so far.
Thanks, Mark. Now, as Mark mentioned, the conference is hosted by the Catholic Student Ministry Focus. EWTN's Francesca Fenton got a chance to talk to the founder of the organization and his son about their newest endeavor.
Focus, known for their missionary work on college campuses, is now expanding their reach into Catholic parishes. Focus Parish is a new area of the ministry that brings missionaries into church communities to help revitalize them and encourage the faithful to spread the gospel to others. Founder of Focus, Curtis Martin, and his son, Brock Martin, Vice President of Parish Outreach at Focus, agree that Focus Parish is a response to the need of sending missionaries to where the majority of Catholics can be found.
If we're trying to bring the gospel to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth, the vast majority of people don't currently live on U.S. college campuses. The Catholic Church has amazingly already done this work. Every inch of the globe is already mapped out into a parish structure. And so Focus's move into parish really is a response to the fact that we want to take this mission seriously, and we need to send missionaries to where the people are.
Everybody lives in a parish, as Brock said, and really when evangelization takes root, when there's real transformation, it's going to take place in families and in parishes. That's where Catholics live. And so we want to be with them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in the midst of friendship.
For parishes who take part in Focus's new ministry, they receive two full-time missionaries who become part of their leadership team, help advise on and lead ministries, and fundamentally, they work to create small groups where the gospel message is shared and spread to others throughout the community and diocese. Focus Parish is currently in more than 24 parishes across the United States and plan to expand to an additional 25 parishes in 2026. The Martins' goal for this ministry is that it would be a gift to the church and a source of hope.
There's a resurgence of faith. Articles being written about this all over the world. Focus is just participating in a little way. Millions of people awakening to Christ. We need to welcome them and to be able to recognize the church ought to be growing. This can work. And when you have hope, you start to make decisions based upon that. And all of a sudden you see the church should be a place of growth.
My deepest hope in Focus Parish is that this would be a simple and repeatable gift that we could offer to Mother Church.
Francesca Fenton, EWTN News Nightly.
We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including a Marian New Year, what Pope Leo says we can learn from our Blessed Mother as we move into 2026. Plus, the oldest discovered copies of the Bible are being displayed in the U.S. Find out where you can see them. Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass for the octave of Christmas, where he enlightened the faithful on how to take the opportunity to start a new year. EWTN News Vatican correspondent Valentina Di Donato has more.
At the dawn of the new year, the liturgy reminds us that for each of us, every day can be the beginning of a new life, thanks to God's generous love, His mercy, and the response of our freedom. It is beautiful to view the coming year in this way, as an open journey to be discovered.
Da scoprire.
These are the words of Pope Leo XIV for the octave of Christmas, which falls on New Year's Day. It is celebrated on the eighth day after Christmas on the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. It is a day that invites the faithful to start the new year with a lesson from the Virgin Mary. She advises us to keep the word in our hearts, engage in the mystery of Christ's birth, and to ask ourselves what Jesus wants to say to us.
Nella maternità divina di Maria.
In Mary's divine motherhood, then, we see the meeting of two immense unarmed realities, that of God, who renounces every privilege of his divinity to be born in the flesh, and that of a human person who, trustingly and fully, embraces God's will.
And then Pope Leo XIV greeted the faithful as he gave his first Angelus of the new year. From St. Peter's Square, he spoke about the World Day of Peace, which is also celebrated on January 1st by request of Pope St. Paul VI.
I wanted to repeat the wish that the Lord suggested to me when calling me to this service. Peace be with you all, a peace that is unarmed and disarming, which comes from God, a gift of His unconditional love, and is entrusted to our responsibility.
Reminding the faithful that the Lord invites us to renew our time to usher in an era of peace and friendship among all people. In Rome, Valentina Di Donato for EWTN News Nightly.
The oldest discovered copies of the Old Testament are being displayed in two locations in the U.S., and Washington, D.C. is one of them. Reporter Julia Convery takes us to the Museum of the Bible to see the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Without further ado, let's open the gates and welcome to the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibition at Museum of the Bible.
Called the Mona Lisa of the museum, the long-awaited display has finally arrived in Washington, D.C. The oldest copies of the Bible ever discovered, the Dead Sea Scrolls, are making a historic tour in the U.S. to mark the 75th anniversary of their discovery.
Well, before the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947, our best Hebrew manuscripts of the Old Testament books dated to about 1000 A.D. The scrolls shave off a millennium of that and give us a sense that the Bible was transmitted accurately through time.
Bedouin treasure hunters and archaeologists discovered the remains
of hundreds of fragile pieces of parchment and papyrus in the Qumran caves near the coast of Israel. 24 scrolls of the Hebrew Bible were found, dating back to the 3rd century BC.
My children, when they were 8 years old, I brought them to the laboratory and I showed them a scroll, and within 15 seconds they were able to read a document written 2,000 years ago.
The scrolls contain readings from the Old Testament, including Genesis, the Psalms, and Numbers. Now, because of the fragility of these scrolls, they can only be exposed to so much light. This means every 3 months there's a new series of scrolls displayed, creating a dynamic experience each time you visit. The exhibit contains more than just the scrolls. It also features other artifacts found in Israel.
And there's a kind of a model, a reconstruction of the boat that is roughly the size of what the boats would have been like that Jesus and his disciples would have used.
The Magdala stone is a uniquely carved block of stone discovered at the site of Magdala, quite often associated with Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' early disciples.
And it just tells you how alive the Bible is, right? And so those stories are not just ancient stories of historical data. They have a transformative power.
For me, though, just to read Scripture and to connect with people who read the same biblical text 2,000 years ago is something that is truly powerful.
The exhibit will be on display until September of 2026. Julia Convery, EWTN News Nightly.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, we're on the ground at the annual Seek Youth Conference in Ohio, where thousands of college students are gathering from across the nation. And from childhood friends to doctors of the church, meet today's saints. Welcome back. The SEEK Conference is still going strong in Fort Worth, Denver, and Columbus. And that's where we find EWTN News' Mark Irons. Mark, how's it going?
It's going good, Veronica. I'm here with two Catholics from the University of Cincinnati. We actually all traveled up together on the bus from the University of Cincinnati, about a two-hour bus ride. But we've got Ben and Zeta here. And actually, pretty excited to talk to them because Ben really just got on fire for his faith starting in August. I want to start with you. What's it been like to be in this crowd of so many Catholics who are striving to grow in their relationship with Christ?
Yeah, so this is a really cool experience for me. I've never been to any type of conference like this. And seeing all these young people my age just so ambitious about their faith and to grow closer to God is just really moving to me. And it shows that there's so many other people out there in the same shoes, just trying to build that relationship and get closer.
Absolutely. That's amazing. And Zeta, you just got to have an interesting talk with Father Mike Spence,
yes,
who was talking about death, a topic that we often don't like to think about, but something we should. Why?
I just think it's important. And as Catholic Christians, we're trying to strive for eternal life and we're trying to grow our relationship with Christ every day. And death can be an uncomfortable conversation, but we want to meet our Father one day, and our, like, how we look at that conversation tells a lot about how much we know our Father and the type of relationship we have with him.
Absolutely. Ben, after having been in this crowd and, like, taking your faith back home now, any inspirations? Like, what's the next step, you think?
Man, I think the next step is definitely to find those other people who are kind of on the edge with their faith and just bring them in and be like, hey, look at this. All these people, we're here, we can grow together, and it's just incredible.
That's awesome. And you talk about, like you were saying, learning to talk, growing that relationship to prepare for heaven. One way to do that is prayer and adoration.
Yes.
You became Catholic just this year. Welcome,
yes.
Welcome to the church.
Thank you.
But the idea of perpetual adoration might have been foreign to you before. Here, there's a 24-hour adoration chapel. You said it's been great to spend time there.
Yeah, and this is the first time I've been at SEEK, and it can be overwhelming at times. You know, it's your first time, there's a lot going on, and just being able to go and see the Lord pretty much any time during the day and just sit in prayer, whether you want to talk to him, sit in silence, it's been incredible for me.
Absolutely, and a reminder, you can spend time with Christ at any parish. He's there in the tabernacle. Thanks again, guys, for taking the time to speak with us. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Back to you guys.
Thanks, Mark. Today, the church celebrates two saints, bishops and doctors of the church, St. Basil the Great and St. Gregory Nazianzen. These great defenders of Orthodox teaching in the 4th century met during their studies and formed a strong friendship. They lived during the height of the Arian heresy that denied the divinity of Christ, Saints Basil and Gregory not only defended the divinity of Christ, but also the divinity of the Holy Spirit. The two were also holy, spending years in solitude and prayer throughout their lives. Saints Basil and Gregory, pray for us. We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Veronica Dudo. Good night, and God bless.